Shalom, welcome to Tanya Wide Open G4. We're up to chapter 7 now. Chapter 9. Okay. So, the chiddush is that there's something other than the Rabbeinu Shloim. That's a chiddush. In some ways, you could say that chassidus, or call it just reality.
There is something.
The chiddush is that there's something what?
Other than the Rabbeinu Shloim.
Einu mabadol.
Yeah. Elibit the MS. No. But that's the difference. We the difference between us and the Umos Olam, who've like got their stuff together, is that we're machshiv this world. And if we weren't, then you wouldn't care about kashrus, you wouldn't care about tefillin, you wouldn't care about zman
kriyashma. Why is it a chiddush to be? Why can't we machshiv this world and say that there's only Hashem?
That's the point. Okay. The chiddush is reality. See the you could say, you could maybe say it like this, that. There's a book called Return of the God Hypothesis. You heard of this book? By Stephen C. Meyer. If you're like a big reader, yeah, it's a good, it's a masterpiece. People look back at that book in 20 years. And it's a science book. It's called Return of the God. It's a famous book, Return of the God Hypothesis. It's a big bite. It's like a 600-700 page book, whatever. But it's really amazing. It really is amazing. And again, as a disclaimer, according to the halacha that I know, and again, you should ask your Rav this, but according to the halacha that I know, is that there is no heter to read these kinds of books outside of the bathroom. Yeah. So that's just all of this. That one was so good that I did read a bit of it outside of the bathroom, and I have a chavata for that. But that's how I understand things. Just you should ask your Rav, if it's permissible. Say that. So this book, yeah, he goes through three main proofs for God, yeah? Number one, I can't remember the order maybe, the fine-tuning of the universe, yeah? The concept of the Big Bang, the world had a beginning, and DNA. The fine-tuning of the universe basically says that the chances of this world, of the parameters of like carbon existing, so it could be anything, are so ridiculously small, it's just...
It had to be just so.
Exactly. So that's one. Then the Big Bang means there was a beginning. So there was a beginning. Colesman, you're saying that the universe is constant, then I can get away from that. And then DNA is, even according to Mr. Dawkins... Dr. Dawkins, is a language, and language, we've got no example bichlal ever of a language that comes from anything other than an intellect. So that's me summarizing that. It's a big book, but it's very beautiful. He talks about the whole, I think it's called epistemology. Is it epistemology? Epistemology, the concept of how do we know what we know? And he's like a professor in that. And it's like 50 pages of that. Really, really interesting. Really, and he's very lucid, very brings it very much down. It's a good bathroom book. So, but when you think about what's happening, is he's looking at this world. He's a really nice guy. Yeah, he's a put together good guy. And he's looking at this world. And he says, listen, the fine tuning, the DNA, the Big Bang, everything's pointing to a supreme intellect that I can't understand, and you ask me where it comes from, I can't tell you that, but everything's pointing to God, yeah? And that is how it should be by the Umos HaOlam, without Yisrael. If you look at the work, if you look at the deeper work of, if you look at the Kabbalah of Yisrael, yeah, it was a little different by the Rishonim, yeah, who got involved in a lot of this as well. But the way that I've understood it is that Yisrael, if you open up any of the Kisvei Ari, yeah, basically what he's struggling with, the question that's predicated, the whole of Kisvei Ari is predicated on this question. How
the whole halal and how
can there be an olam? Like, I understand God, that makes perfect sense, an indivisible perfection, complete perfection that's outside of Zman and Makom, that just is, that sits very well in my mind. How on earth can there be a world, a finite world? So he goes, that's what the Kisveri is. If anyone's learned any Kisveri, you'll see he's unbelievable mechanics of what happened for there to be a world. You know, even before Shviras HaKelim, there's pages and pages and pages of what happened before the Shvira. Yeah, Kal V'Chomer after the Shvira and from the Shvira, and that's all in Atzilus. That's not even coming into the world of Bria. The Kisveri don't even touch Bria, basically. They mention about some things falling down, but they're not talking about the actual creation. It's all about the formation of Atzilus. So you see, it's the opposite. The Umos HaOlam take this world for granted, and we use our mind to extrapolate that there has to be a God. We take God for granted, and we use our mind to try and work out how on earth can there be also a finite world. It's the exact opposite. With me? Mm-hmm. The exact opposite. So a good goy is going up from down up. And a good yid is going from up down. And that's exactly how it's meant to be until the Ulim
Sot Olim. We're not all doing what the Kisvei Ari's all doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we also have to look at the world and see the brilliance in the world and have that all point to Hashem as well.
Thank you. That was very important you just said that. Because remember what you are. What is the definition of a yid? Is a human being with an neshama. So the human element of you needs to do its due diligence. I have a cousin in England, like an Ivy school. It's not called that in England, but an Ivy school. He went to Oxford. Yeah, like a brilliant guy, you know. And his wife got sick with machla, Rahman al-Islam. This was a few years ago. And I haven't spoken to the guy for many years. And I reached out to him and said to him, you know, why don't you daven, you know, put a talis over your head and spend some time davening. And I never knew. He was like, you know, don't you know that I'm like the most religious atheist you could ever meet? I was like, no, it's so interesting. We had like, it must have been about a 5-year dialogue. This was maybe 4 years, I don't know how many years, yeah? Pages and pages and pages of emails, backwards and forwards, about the existence of God and Torah and like, at the end of it, I said, we have to stop this because it's just wasting my time. There's nothing I can say to you, Bichlal, but thank you so much because you have mamash completely solidified my connection to reality. Mitzad my goof. My goof is, I'm in such a good place now in appreciating the reality of Torah because Torah's not predicated on blind faith, Bichlal. It really isn't, no matter what anyone says about Emuna Peshuta. Emuna Peshuta does not mean I believe. That's not for Yidden. You've got three kinds of Emuna. You've got Emuna Deshtus, Emuna Deshmia, and Emuna Deria. Stupid Emuna, audible Emuna, and visual Emuna. Yeah? The idiots of the world have got stupid Emuna. You just say, I believe. You can believe whatever you want. That's just stupid. Audible Emuna, Emuna Deshmia, is based on rational understandings. Like if you listen to the our cousins of this generation talking, go online and listen to their proofs for the Quran, v'chule, yeah? Listen to their proofs for God, for some kind of intellect, ultimate intellect creating the world, and it's fantastic. The minute they start talking about their book, any proofs for their book, you'll literally laugh your head off. I thought, like, when October 7th happened, I did my due diligence, and I thought they would have, like, discovery seminars, like how we have. Like, I'm sure they've got very compelling proofs for the reality of the Quran, yeah? And I spent some time looking into it, and I was absolutely shocked by how, you can't even call the evidence flimsy. There's no reason to believe in that book that I can see. No reason. except for a few like very vague statements that could be understood in any way that they've linked to some kind of scientific ideas that are that we hold of today. And they're like, well, how could that be known 1,000 years ago? And it's so, they're so tenuous, it's ridiculous. And then the other thing is like the perfection, the literary perfection of the book. And again, that's a ridiculous thing. Whereas we have, yeah, a national revelation that has never been claimed by anyone else in the history of reality. That just by itself, and there's a bunch of other stuff as well, that just by itself, which is really should be the foundation of our human belief in God, that is so compelling. And what's even, what I found having talked to my cousin about it, is even more compelling than that. Yeah? And that should be the most compelling piece of proof there is for God.
For revelation.
Yeah? Which is, means for the Torah, not for God. That's why in the Yud Gimel Karim, the way it's written in the Siddurim, it says, Ani ma'amin be'emunah shlema shebo yisbach shemoi hu bo yumanig. Why isn't the first one, Ani ma'amin be'emunah shlema sheyesh boirei oilam? Number two should be that he is boirei umanig. Because if you've got a creation, then you've got a creator. Now, you might call that the Big Bang. You might call that the quantum fluctuations. That's what a creator who's not the manhig would look like, a Big Bang or quantum fluctuations. That's the definition of a creator who's not manhig. You with me? So the idea that there is a creator, that father, there's a creator. The Muna is that he's the manhig as well. If there's a Bria, there's a Boire. That's just the most simple thing in the world. But also you'll notice in the anima means that there isn't anima mi memunush leme shahaya mamad hasinai. There's no mention. I believe that the Torah that we got from Moshe is MS. Like, you could say maybe that because you believe that the Torah is MS, you have to believe in the stories in it, and therefore you believe in Mamad HaSinai. But give me the tenet of our faith is that the Torah got given to the Am Yisrael at HaSinai. Make that one of the anima means. Why is it not an anima mean? It's because you don't need a munah for that. That's just... You need a munah to not believe that. You need to take a jump to not believe that. 3,336 years ago, the only time ever such a statement has ever been made, that a whole nation of people saw God, never replicated again, that's mamash compelling. That's really compelling. But this is, for me, having spoken to my friend about this, what's more compelling than that is the fact that you can poo-poo it away so easily. That for me is that's the clincher. It's so compelling, but at the same time, you can just go, oh, don't be so stupid.
Isn't that the rock and the name in the rock? Isn't that the point of that mashal of the rock with the name carved into the rock? That people can't see the rock anymore. They just see the name carved in the rock.
What's that got to do with...
That you can see it so clearly, and yeah, it's so clearly, like, it can be so...
Oh, I'm not sure. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. You have to think about that. But just the idea that it can be such a compelling proof, that can be, like, you can't... How does it work? You can't have such a compelling proof that you can just go, oh, don't be stupid. You see, you watch what's his name? O.J. Simpson killing his wife on video. Yeah? Nowadays, you can maybe say it's, you know, like AI, deep fake kind of thing. But go back a year ago, yeah? You can't just poo-poo that away. They can't. How could there be compelling proof on one hand that Mitzad Sheni, you can just go, oh, don't be so stupid. 3,500 years ago. How do you know? How can you know? Do you hear what I'm saying? That it means that's... Anyway, we went on the side. We went on a tangent there. Huh?
It's a heart problem.
Exactly. That's the point. Hashem leaves it in your heart. Rahman Aliba boy. He leaves it up to your heart. So he gives you... But...
That's the Rebbe Chana. There's a Rebbe Chana Wasman. Levavchem is... Don't go after Apikorsis.
Minus, yeah.
So why is it Acher Levavchem? If it's Apikorsis, it should don't go after your mind. Don't go after your thoughts. Don't go after your rational thinking. Because it's the most Pashat Zach that Hashem created the world and he gave the Torah. That's Pashat. That's intellectually... So if the only reason you're not believing that is because there's something wrong with your heart, you have a Nagia.
That's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. But getting back to what we were saying is that
the world exists.
Hmm?
The Chiddush is the world exists.
I'm going to just knock me off. I was just about to say something. One second. that the, yeah, you need, as a human being, especially in 2025, yeah, especially in Tavshin Pei Hei, you need to understand your goof needs, that's called Emunah D'Shmir. That's intellectual Emunah. That means it makes sense. That's called, do you know it? I don't know it, but it makes a lot of sense to me. I would put money on it if the other option, that's just called, that's Emunah D'Shmir. Yeah, Emunah D'Ri'iyah is Jewish Emunah, which is predicated on the fact that your neshama is looking at the Rabbeinu Shlolem.
Is the Rabbeinu Shlolem looking
at the Rabbeinu? No, your neshama is looking at the Rabbeinu. Your neshama is... That's the soy. Why'd you cover your hands when you say Shema? Why can't you just close your eyes?
Why?
Well, some say for concentration, some say F. It's like a team of death.
It's what?
It's like a literal reality of death in this world. We have the reality of that. This whole world is...
Wait, so why'd you cover your eyes with Shema?
It's concentration at Pasprashat.
But why don't you just close your eyes? Why'd you have to cover your eyes? So close your eyes. What's the benefit of covering my eyes
hand.
Also? What?
With your hand, you're saying.
Yeah. What's kaf? What's the Indian of kaf?
Yeah.
Kaf yad. Kaf, ois kaf, is kesa, is by Mr. Kesa, which is the level beyond Chochmah. So what we're doing is we're like, so to speak, looking into the essence of our soul. You have to remember that your neshama is also create, your neshama's got many levels to it. It's a very complex entity, yeah? The essence of the neshama is chelek elokim imal, is the Rabbeinu Shlolem, like you said.
The piece of feet is 600.
So that's meramas in kaf yad. Like, for example, when you speak of when you speak in third and second person to someone, yeah, where if you're face to face, which means you go beyond their name. When I say I'm talking to you, I don't need your name, because when you're face to face, you're talking to the person, beyond the one who has the name, not the name. You only need their name when they turn their back on you or they're someplace else. But when you're in front of them face to face, you say you. Yeah, in Hebrew, what's the letter that symbolizes second person? Lefanecha. Chaf. Chaf is the letter that I use, mashlom cha. When I'm talking to you, beyond the name, I say you. That's a chaf. That's like, we've said this many times, haray at mekudeshesli. You're not marrying your wife's name, yeah, you're marrying your wife, the person who has the name. So you say, haray at mekudeshesli. Yeah? That's a big, that's an arichas in itself. But anyway, So the neshama itself, in that sense, is looking at Hashem. There is a higher madrega, which is called Emunah D'Das. I don't know if you even call it Emunah, you call it Das. That's how I stay. Yeah, that's the madrega where you're not looking at Hashem anymore, which would mean looking at the essence of your soul. That's what you're doing in Shema, is you're looking, so to speak, in the essence of your soul. With me? Because you can't call that Yisrael. That's the Rabbeinu Shalom himself. So it's a tzivui to Yisrael to look into the essence of your soul, to look into your soul. And then to bring it down through Shmir, the whole avoid of Shema is Shmir. Shema, bringing it down into the goof. And if you look through Shema, you have a sitter here? Jason, in my pocket. If you go through the progression of Shema, you'll see. What?
It goes from the Shmir to Re'iyah.
Well, look at how it works.
Very connected to the portion of all the leaves, Rastikli, Likli, that's what all the portion says, leaves. He says, Rastikli, and he is in between, Chaf. It's the Yud and Lamed, the only letter between is a Chaf. It's Keter, it's in between the leaves.
So, last bit?
Yud Chaf Lamed. li in between the yud lam and the chaf.
Oh wow. Shkoyach. Shalom is similar inyan is shin at the beginning, mem at the end, with lamed vav in the middle. So real shalom is when you realize that you're in the pnimius of your name, shame, is loy, is boach. That's real shalom. There's no other shalom. Everything else is just in yonus. So Shema, what's the first, when you say Shema by yourself, yeah, you add in Keil Melech Ne'eman in Munna, yeah? Then you've got a big iron and dalad.
That's
yeah? Ein Eidus B'li Re'iyah, that's the Indian of Re'iyah. Yeah, Eidus has to be with Re'iyah. There's no Eidus with Shmia. Eidus is Re'iyah. But then it's Shema. So it's the Neshama, the avoider of Shema is... See, again, a Jew is not a Neshama. A Jew is a human being with a Neshama. And our whole avoider in this world is being Mekadosh, the human being part of us. The Neshama lo tzrich tikkun. It doesn't, the Neshama's givoldik, yeah? The whole point is bringing the Rabbeinu Shalom into this world. So what's the ikka tikkun? Like, we're fixing, this is again the parrot we're learning about. You know, right now this table is being elevated, yeah? We're learning Torah on this table, so all the wood and the little people who made it all going up to Hashem, yeah? This coffee, hopefully, is going to Hashem, yeah? The clothes that you're wearing, yeah? All we understand that, yeah? The lulav and esrog and all the chomer of this world is going to Hashem. What's... With every single mitzvah you do, there's a tzad hashav of what you're offering to Hashem. There's not one mitzvah you do that you're not giving this to Hashem. Like when you're shuckling lulav and esrog, you're giving the peiros and whatever. When you're putting on tefillin, you're giving the oiros and the ksav. When you're giving tzedakah, you're being makadesh the money, yeah? What's the tzad hashav of all of them that you're always offering to Hashem, that you can't not be offering to Hashem, huh?
Time.
That's good. But there's mitzvah shleina zman guama, so not
always. It doesn't
matter,
it still takes time to do it.
Okay. You're offering your nefesh bahamas. You're offering yourself. Your sense of self. The humanness of you. That's always going back to Hashem. That's the
you're saying like us. You know the famous quote people say, you're not a body with the soul, you're a soul with the body. You're saying punkva keres, and the opposite is true.
If you're a normal Jew, you're not elevated, then you are a body with a soul. Meaning you're that's the avoider, is to stop being that. You should be identified primarily with Nishmas Yisrael, not with your goof. That's Perek Lamed Beis in the Tanya. That's the whole, yeah, that's the big thing there. The ikra of the world is to be identified with the neshama, not with the goof. But if you're a normal human being, a normal Jew, then you are primarily looking at the world through the eyes of the goof. That's how we see the world. And we have a neshama. That's why I say neshama shenasata bi tohirehi. The neshama that you put in me. Well, who's the me? That's
the tefillah of the goof.
Yeah, that's the tzaddikim just say that because they're batul beroiv. They're batul beroiv. Meaning that's the nusach of Am Yisrael, of the regular Yidden, that the neshama that you put in me. But Hillel was dragging, they said to him, why are you going to the bathhouse? He said, I'm dragging my, this lowly body to, you know, I'm going to give it some chesed, do some chesed to this body, give it something to eat. What was his perspective? He was seeing the world through the eyes of the neshama. That's a lot of work. So the avoider of this, the avoider of the yid, is bringing down the Rabbeinu Shalom into this world. But primarily, the first stop is the animal soul that we have, the motivating the nefesh achiyunus, the motivating soul. So look, he says it's clear. Look at this. So you say Kel Melech Ne'eman, yeah, that's the inyan of Emunah, yeah. And then we talk about Eidus, Ayin Dalad, which is all about Re'iyah, not Shmia. Yeah, so it's the neshama looking at. We're not making this up. Yeah, we are aidim to Rabbeinu Shalom. That's what happened at Har Sinai. We became aidim. We saw it with our eyes. That's just a moshul. Mashna Torah is happening kol rega. The neshama's looking at the Rabbeinu Shalom. You can't, seeing is believing. You can't fake someone out when they're looking at something. Yeah, you don't have to jump to understand, to believe something. You're seeing it. So Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Echad. Yeah, that's the whole thing itself. v'chol levavacha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol mo'idecha. That is the inyan of bringing it down into the midas. That's a whole big thing to get into this, but let's skip that because this will be a whole show in itself. But that's bringing it down into the higher levels of yourself. Yeah. Then that these words, they should be on your heart, meaning that's really like your midas in the goof. Yeah. Vishnantam of Dech Vidibata Bom is speech. Sorry, Allavavacha, sorry. Allavavacha. Vishnantam of Dech Vidibata Bom. Allavavacha is Machshava. Vishnantam Levanecha Vidibata Bom is Dibor. Vishivtecha Bevesech of Leftecha Vedech Shochcha of Kumecha is Maisa, which goes to Ukshatim Lo Oisa Yedecha or Yilu Totavas Beinenecha, which is the goof. Yeah. Ukshatim Al Mazoiz Bezech Vishurecha, which is the furthest from you. So it's that's the progression of Yiddishkeit. Yeah, I've forgotten exactly how to touch the top bits. I got that. I've got it written down. But it's the progression of the source of your neshama, or the source of your neshama is the Rabbani Sholem. It's a bit hard to say that, but let's say that. Yeah, just for want of a better way of saying it. Yeah, the shoresh of Nishmas Yisrael is the Rabbani Sholem. Let's say. Yeah. Now the outer concentric levels of the neshama look at that. They look at its source, and that's called emuna. That's called emuna de re'ia. So, what's the emuna of the actual essence of your soul? Well, you can't recall that emuna. It is God.
Das.
So that's like called das. That's where it's not. You have emuna in something else. That's why it's called emuna de das, if you want to call it that. Yeah. But that's the actual spitz of the soul is one with Rabbeinu Sholem Mamash. So it's not like it believes in a, like Rev Yitzhak Ginsburg calls the Yechida Shri Yechida, the Neshama of the Neshama. He calls it Emuna. He goes Emuna Oineg Rotzon. Yeah, he calls the spitz of, it's a chiddush by him, yeah, it's his thing. But he calls the very essence of the Jewish soul, emuna. So our void of Shema is we're looking, the lower levels of the soul that are still very, very godly, we're still talking about the Nefesh Lakis, is looking at its essence. That's why we look into the cuff of the yad, yeah? We're looking at the essence, and then we're filtering it back down through the Machshava Dibor Maisa, into the goof, into the crushing of the bias, and from there out into the world.
In a visual sense, it's Chaim Vital writes and says that the way the spheres work is there's always Keter going out to Malchus, but the way we relate to it is back from Malchus back up to Keter. So in the world of what you're explaining is basically our perspective starting from the bottom up. In reality, it flows from the top down though. That's Keter flows all the way to Malchus, but we can't access that downward. So in our world of our goof, we use the bottom place, but we use the higher faculties of our Keter Chachma, but it's not top down, it's actually bottom up when we're connected back to Hashem. Connect to ourselves, we have to use our Keter, but when we connect back up to the spheres, we're starting from Malchus back up to Yisrael, and we back up to Keter.
But the avoid of Tefillah is climbing up through the Olamos to the point where Shemana Esrei is at Tzilus, and at that point, really, the way to think about Shemana Esrei that I've found to be the most, I can't think of a word for it.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll hear what I say, it doesn't do it justice. Is Shemana Esrei is a conversation between the Shechina and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it's going through your mouth. Think of it like that. Where are you? Hashem Shefasai Tivtachu Fiyah Gidul Asecha. You are bringing into reality the deepest desires, the deepest desires of the Shechina Hakadosha. Where does it say anything about yourself in Shemana Esrei?
Yourself?
There's a lot of Bikush. But it can definitely seem like we're asking a lot of things about ourselves.
So you're not. You never use I one time in Shemona Esrei. Only after when you get to a lokai. There are a couple of things.
Everything. No, but it's all new.
It's all new. It's all third. It's all third person.
Everything new is God for others. It's between me and God also. There's two levels of Salach Lanu Avim Kichatak. The plural is also me and God. It's that we. Me and you, Hashem.
The most helpful way of approaching Shemona Esrei that I've understood, that I've learned, is it's not about you. If you've got stuff to ask for, you can ask for it at the end of Shemona Esrei, and you can go out to the fields and ask for it there as well.
I'm not trying to contradict. 100%. I 100%. That's my mahalach and. In Shemona Esrei, Matul says that, you know, that's the Shekhinah is
the very... What is the... It's the... Yeah.
Shekhinah is the very itself and all. So, and Rav Nachman has a Torah at the end of the Gemara and says that, you know, ideally it should just be you and God. In Shemona Esrei, it's just you and God. But really, ideally it should just be God. So in a certain way, and that's the way Lamayis and Halacha, it's we should be listening to what we're saying. We're listening like a listener. Like Perish Amilas is the highest madrega of Shemona Esrei, is Perish Amilas. So we should be listening to what we're saying as if it's the Shekhinah and the Berem. It is. It's not as if. It's not that's, a Ki'ilu. It is the Shekhinah and the Berem. And we're listening and just understanding the words, Pasha B'Shah.
And that's really the Bikush.
The Shekhinah for Knesset Yisrael. That's why everything is us. It is Bikush, but it's the Bikush of the Shekhinah and Galus for Tikkun.
So we're saying it's a conversation. That's exactly what I said.
I
was looking forward to you, saying opposite. I was like, when's it going to come?
No. I was trying to clarify because it sounded like I was contradicting you when I said that there is a lot of Bikush in it.
It's a conversation between the Shekhinah and a Bikushdika conversation. Okay. It's really a tefillah. The Shekhinah Kedosha is being mevakesh. Nuk is being mevakesh from Zah. Yeah, the Shekhinah Kedosha is being mevakesh. Is talking to Zah Ampin. Is talking to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And you're the one whose lips are allowing that to take place. That's like.
And how's that
a Vodashabalev? Well, what is a Vodashabalev? It's exactly what a Vodashabalev is. A Vodashabalev is giving your heart to the Rabbeinu Shloim. What does that look like? What does that mean? That's called Rachmana Liberboy. Rachmana Liberboy doesn't mean giving your emotions to a Rabbeinu Shloim. I learned that from many people that Chassidus is about giving the emotions to God, yeah? Hashem doesn't want your emotion. I mean, he wants your emotions, but that's not really what he wants. He wants you. You have emotions. You have intellect. He wants the you. That's what marriage is. Hayat mukudeshesli. It's not about going like that.
And
that's
so the
like,
me is the Nefesh Bahamas? That's the me that he wants? The heart of the Nefesh Bahamas?
Maybe. Yeah, well, he definitely wants that.
He has my heart, Nefesh Elokis, right? He's got that.
That's the same thing. Yeah, so maybe you could say that. I don't know. Is this complicated? I could speak about it. But that would be a pashat, the most simple way of understanding it would probably be. But yeah, again, it depends on what you identify with. Because I've got also the Nefesh Maskeles. That's the one that identifies with the Nefesh. You're not a Nefesh Bahamas. You're not a Nefesh Elokis. You are the space in which those two entities battle it out.
Yeah.
The question is, who do you give the keys to the car to? Who are you identifying with? So when we identify with the Nefesh of Bahamas, well, you've identified with the Nefesh of Bahamas, so who are you? There's the you that's free, that yeah. could be, that's the elevated Hindus. Yeah, are very much connected to that part of themselves. They've gone well beyond their Nefesh Bahamas, and they are, so to speak, disidentified. Whereas our voida...
But they have nothing to be identified.
That's the point. So they're now disidentified. They are not identified with nefesh at the Bahamas.
To become disidentified in Ganson?
No. The way I understand the point of the guy is Kiyum Olam. If that guy is now going to get his hands dirty and start building the world and create a nice place for everyone, then it's great. Mm-hmm. If it means he's just going to sit there and pick his nose and talk stupid, you know, fancy words, then, you know, I mean, that could also maybe help other people fix it. I don't know. But the point of the Umas Olam is to create an Olam.
He can stay an elevated Hindu if he starts building stuff and doing stuff.
Yeah, but it could be that he has followers who he's telling to do that too. We shouldn't denigrate these people. They're not Oiv Devoy Desire, and they're extremely... They've done a lot of work on themselves. Some of the people that I've learned about have done a huge amount of inner work, and they've gotten to a place of utter detachment where a lot of Yidden would be, you know, it would be a good thing for us to do that kind of work. So we've said before, the unenlightened human says, I am that. The enlightened human says, I am. That would be having disidentified from your human element, and you've now... and the Jew says, I am yours. That's the avoider of tefillah is like, that's what I find it. I know this is very, people don't like this because I know everyone loves the whole his voidedness thing, yeah? But you have to be really careful with that. Like, really, really careful with his voidedness, that Hashem does not turn into your pocket God. It's a bigger voider to be so clear on reality that you can't fall into the mistake of thinking that Hashem is like, he's there for you. He's your valet. I'm making fun a little bit now, but I'm just, you know, that he's there for you to feel close to. Yeah, that's also a treif kite. Kolzman, you want to feel close to God. Yeah, you're not serving him. That can't, like all of this, and the funny thing is that all of this stuff is... You know, people are like, wow, what do you mean? Don't want to feel close to God? Of course I want to feel close to God. You're not understanding. You need want to serve. That's called a voidisha belave. With voidisha, I belong to you. I'm yours.
Is this voidisha at Silas or only tefillah at Silas?
It's voided us at Silas.
Shmuel Yasser, you're saying, is at Silas. It's the big. It's,
yeah, that's 100%.
Right? Yeah. What's his voided us?
That would depend on the person doing it.
But it's not at Silas.
If the guy is a very elevated, but he's living in at Silas Kolzman. I mean, he's, you can live in at Silas, but a Tzadik Gamor, you know, like if Rashbi went out to the fields and spoke to God, he'd be in at Silas. That's who he was. He was just a tzilistic. So speaking to Hashem in your own words, I mean, I wouldn't think that you would go anywhere deeper than a seer, personally.
I agree.
That's just my thoughts. I don't know that personally, but I know that everyone loves it, or I know that Yiddishkeit has kind of boiled down to There's not that many options left if you've got some kind of yearning for something more, you know. So I don't know, but it's an avoider that you have to be weary of. You have to be a little bit scared of, because it's very easy to fall. And especially that I see
the point. Everybody's already in that. Everybody's already in Hashem's for me.
That's called Gehenna. I don't know if that's such a miler. I mean, that everyone talks about that. You know, we want everyone to believe in God. Yeah, I mean, look at what happened on October 7th. I've said this over and over. Yeah, that was a bunch of people who believed in God. What was the benefit of that? Rishoyim, Lahavdil. I don't want to compare you to that, Bechlal. But what's the benefit of? Of the what is that about? I believe in God. What do those words mean? What does that mean? You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of learning that goes into this. A lot of unlearning that goes into this. You know, God isn't a thing. He's not a spirit. He's what we call reality itself. We have to work that out. So it's not like God is close to us. It's not like God is this, you know, infinite spirit who's everywhere, all powerful, all knowing, all kind, all loving. Yeah, well, then that means there's me and him. Einod milvadoi means that there's only him. So to say that is an infinite contradiction, that he's very close to me. These are ideas that we have to really, you know, that will take us to the end of our mind. That's where we're meant to go. That's what we're meant to use our mind for, is to go to the end of it and then look back and say bye. But not to just give up the mind. You use the mind to jump out of the mind. That's called the handle from the forest. The handle for the axe comes from the forest. How do you cut down the forest? With a wooden axe. Meaning you cut down your mind. The avoider of emuna pshuta is from Russian lahafshit. Meaning it's emuna mufshat. You know what mufshat means? To strip away from all the other stuff. How do you take... That's a big avoider, taking the hide off an animal. It's not, I believe. That's not what it means. Bichlau, simple emuna. It means a emuna that's mufshat from all tsura. How do you get there? That's called looking at the Ribono Shel Olam. Otherwise, kol zman, you're hearing it in your ears, your mind. You're hearing it. Now that's a tsura. That's the highest level that Umas Olam can come to. They can come to a very... You know, if they're really diligent, and the word I think is earnest. I like that word. I learned that just recently. If they're genuinely earnest, then they can come to an incredibly elevated surah of Hashem. But the only way you leave surah of Hashem behind is when you're looking at Hashem. So the neshama doesn't have a surah of Hashem. The neshama knows Hashem itself. You with me? We said this last week, the difference between listening and hearing, listening and seeing, is when I describe something to you, yeah, you piece it together, you put a picture in your mind of what I describe, you piece it together from stuff that you've already known and seen, yeah? When I show you a picture of this thing that you've never seen in your life, you're like, wow, never saw such a thing. Now your mind expanded. So Shmia is the avoider of taking an idea into my space. I bring the idea to me. Re'ia is the idea brings me to it. So Re'ia is an expansion of self, and Shmia is a diminution of the idea. You understand what I mean? Does that make sense?
Say one more time.
When I describe to you a kind of building, yeah, I say it's got, like, you know, very shiny glass, and it's got big metal pillars, and like the book I'm reading right now, I'm reading this beautiful book called The Last Slave. You have this book about Mitzrayim. You said you were going to read that book. Remember
the book that bought over there?
No, it's called The Last Slave. For the Seder's preparation for it's a beautiful storybook from the perspective of an Egyptian girl who's like a maid for Bassia. It's really beautiful. I'm really enjoying it. Read a few pages a day, and I never ever read fiction, yeah, ever. So this is fiction. It's not. It's based on Chazal, but you know, she's painting the picture of the palace and the Paro with the lions and his jewelry, and you know. And she's not saying much. I've got these beautiful images in my mind, yeah? But they're all made of images that I've seen in my life. Well, how can you create a place that you've never seen in your life? You can't do that, yeah? You're just putting it together from things that you've already seen. So I'm reading her words, that's Shmia, and I'm putting together a picture in my mind using all of the things that I've seen in my life, and I've got this beautiful palace with, you know, marble pillars and, you know, and ifechuda, yeah? Whereas if she was to show me a picture of Paro's palace, I'd be like, wow. My mind got taken to a new place. Kolzman, you're reading a description of something. You didn't go to a new place. You just made a novel configuration of all the shtuyot in your mind already. I shouldn't say shtuyot. Of all the stuff in your mind already, you made a novel configuration of it, yeah? Whereas when I show you a picture of this place, you'll be like, wow. Meaning that you got taken to... So that's the difference between Re'iyah and Shmiyah. That's going back to Emunah the Shmiyah and Emunah the Re'iyah. The Kol Zman, your Emunah, is predicated on your intellect, yeah? You are fitting God into you. You with me? So that's Ein Machshava Tefisa Beklal. You can't think about God. Anything you think about God is completely wrong. The only thing the closest you can get to think about God is by learning Torah. Then you're really thinking about God. It's funny because you could be sitting there, you know, having one of these nouveau rabbis give you amazing ideas and this and that with Seamus and letters and music and the whole thing, and you're like, wow, and you know, you're having a real kind of experience. I've seen this happen. Yeah, people have real experience. Yeah, yeah. You didn't even begin. It's not even comparable, your connection to the Rosh Hashanah, when you're saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem Yisrael, Malchus Yisrael, Olam Vaolam, V'Avta Hashem Elokeinu, unless you're touching it, that's a mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, or V'chulei, yeah? But it's all, you've got it in front of you, you know? What are you looking for? Just mamash, take the time out, the time that this book is a big one, but the Siddur demands, yeah? Take the time out and give it the respect that is due to the safer, as opposed to... Give it the respect it's due. Then you want a kesha to Hashem, or no, you really just want to feel something, Geshmak. What is it? What do you want? You want to serve him, mamash, or you want to feel something?
I think people are afraid of giving up on their... Like, if I'm doing
tournaments
to get a good life, then I don't want to give up on that to serve Hashem, because then what's going to happen to my life? Hashem's just going to, like, make my life hurt even more. Like, I'm trying to do this to protect myself from Hashem, and like, you want me to give it up for Hashem?
That's the irony.
Then what's going to take care of me?
This is the irony of the whole game. The irony of the whole game is when you get to Shalom is shame, with the panemius of shame being lo yisbrach. When you realize that you're a creation, that you belong to him, like your car belongs to you. What would you do if your car started doing stuff unto itself? You're getting you, what are you talking about? That's a chutzpah.
Well, if it changed its oil by itself, I'd be okay.
That, then that's because it's working for you, yeah.
There's a rashi in this week's parsha that brought me to a gemara, but I was talking about the tocho kubaro, because the aron, right, had the gold, wood, gold.
Yeah.
The tocho kubaro, and it says that if you're learning Torah in the field, that you don't have Yerush Shemaim, it's not tocho kubaro. Then you're building a gate, but you don't even own a courtyard.
Yeah, that's a famous chazal. He's in the Tanya as well. Yeah. But the avoider of the Jew, the avoider of the human element of the Jew, is to, you say it, koinea koil. What, you're yotzi min haklal? The Russia is yotzi atzmo min haklal. Koinea koil means you own me. I'm your possession. I belong to you, Ribono Shel Olam. Now, once you get that in perspective, yeah, life becomes, this is the irony, it becomes mamash gevaldik. Not that you're doing it for that reason, but it's the exact, everyone's so scared to let go of their sense of self, but you don't realize that's the prison that you're, that's called Gehenna. That's the illusion that we're here to break free from. You need to realize that you're here to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. Serving the Ribono Shel Olam means you exist in context of him. Like, I got a really big feeling for that when I saw Trump get shot. Yeah, and then I saw his chevra jump on him. You know, everyone saw that, yeah? They like made a little ball of people to, if he started shooting, they killed the guy straight away. But if, so they each one of them was prepared to take a bullet for Donald Trump. I can't think of anyone I'd rather not take a bullet for. But I like him a lot. I love what he's doing. I'm enjoying the whole thing, yeah? But I wouldn't, you know, take a bullet for him. Like, but that's the idea. Look at those guys, and they see their life as, you know, Lahavdil, they exist in context of Mr. Trump. That's in your Mesiras Nefesh. That's not the Mesiras Nefesh of the Nefesh of Akis. That's the Mesiras Nefesh of the Nefesh of Bahamas. That was the Madrega of Rabbi Akiva. You hear that? The Madrega of Rabbi Akiva was he was giving his life up with das and simcha, not like the Tanya speaks about where you're giving it up lemalam in a das. But Rabbi Akiva is the ultimate yid, because that's the avoider of the Jew, is to get your body so identified with being a possession of the Ribono Shel Olam that you become so identified with the fact that you belong to him, you're his possession, that's the avoider of the goof, not the avoider of the neshama. The neshama doesn't belong to Hashem. The neshama is Hashem, if you want to say it like that. The neshama is a netzo. You can't say it's like the rays of the sun coming from the sun. It's not something other. You can't say the sun owns its rays. The rays are of the sun. So to say that the neshama is a neches, a property of Ribbono Shalom, is that doesn't do it justice. The goof is property of Ribbono Shalom. You with me? So I avoid it. Get that clear that you belong to him, and you're like, wow, all the pressure just falls away. It's like, oh wow, that's called an Eved Hashem. I'm trying to be Eved Hashem. That's the whole avoider. So Kol Zman, we're looking for the experience. Well, you got it. You. Why are you looking for an experience?
I mean, the nefesh of the skelas. Sorry.
Well, so just to finish this, because we do need experience, yeah, especially in our generation. Just like we need to eat, just like we need exercise. So, do you need experience? Yeah, experience is as important as exercise. Is exercise important? You're damn right. Exercise is extremely important. But to say you need it, well, you need it. So that's the point of experience. And this is the irony, is that if you get this deep into your kishkas, that you belong to him, then all of a sudden, well, I'll tell you, first things first, is if you can get that clear in your mind that you belong to him, then you'll start davening differently. Shachos will start becoming, you know, instead of a 40-minute avoider, it will start becoming at least an hour and a half avoider. Yeah. And what's the avoider of Shachos? To have an experience. That's the irony of the whole thing. Why do you want an experience in Shachris? Because I'm an Eved Hashem, and I want to do what Hashem wants. And he wants me to have an experience in Tefillah. He wants me to...
I'm not doing it for the experience.
I'm doing it because I'm trying to have an experience, because that's what Hashem wants from me. Because the way my life works is that my day goes after Shachris.
That's very hard. You also want an experience, and you also want to serve Hashem. Like, you want to serve Hashem, whatever experience comes.
No, but the avoid. No, that's the avoid. This is answering your question now. That's the avoider of tefillah, is an experience. Hashem wants you to have an experience. The way the Rayatz, the way the previous the Baba Jerebi described it, I think it was him, is that davening is like it's the tikkun ha-nefesh, meaning it's the nefesh of Bahamas, the nefesh of Chiyonis, sitting there watching the neshama going like that for an hour and a half, and he kind of gets into it. It's schlepping the. The nefesh of Bahamas is like sitting there watching the nefesh of Lakis davening. And if you're doing it properly, yeah, then he starts to get a fit. Like I'm talking from my own. This isn't Guy. This is just I've been doing this for a while now. That I probably 8 years ago, something like that, I decided to take Shachris seriously, yeah. And I really enjoy davening Shachris. My animal side really enjoys it. It's not like something out there. It's not like it's an avoider. The problem is that all the shtibulach and everything's set against us. You have to really be proactive to do it. Like I go to Shin HaTzadok every morning. I try and daven nates. I take a time out. I try not to speak. I try not to. I don't look at notifications. I don't have one of these telephones anyway. Bichlal, that's a big help. I take the halacha seriously. I try to take the eitzes of the Shulchan Aruch seriously. And now, many years on, it's been mashpia that I really like davening Shachris. I don't like hold anything to that. It's just that's what happens if you start taking it seriously. That's how Chazal weren't stupid. They were the farthest thing from stupid. You know, we're looking for all these seminars and all these quick fixes and all this stuff to like give us the experience. You're like, why are you looking to learn from like little people of outdoor who are like, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of godless in outdoor as well, but not compared to the Tanoim. You can't compare them to the Anshei Knesset Gedoila, to the Nevi'im and to the Mordechai. He was on the Anshei Knesset Gedoila. He was masachin this little sefer here, the Siddur. you think that they weren't all over it, just start giving it the respect that it's due, and it will be much better. I'm living proof of that.
The reason people they don't like chakras is it's not we don't do a good job in chakras is because we're doing it for ourselves and we don't really care about ourselves.
This is the whole irony of what we're talking about.
We don't care about ourselves, and so it's happening really for me. So what do I have to put in? Like, okay, I'll skimp and I'll this and all that because it's just for me anyway. And so it's just for me. Who cares?
The whole life comes. The whole life becomes like that.
Then it's like, oh, I actually have to think about it, or I actually take it seriously. It's not just for me, for my, you know.
But that's not just a filler. That's your whole life. You stop. Nothing becomes about doing it for me. So everything becomes infused with huge energy. It's like I'm doing it for you, Rabbeinu Shloim. If it's for me that I don't feel like it, so oh well, you're not going to get Gan Eden. Well, you're going to go to Gehenna. You know what? I'll take a little bit of Gehenna right now. I just can't be bothered right now. Leave me alone. Give Kriya Shema to somebody else right now. Whereas it's not for you. This is for Rabbeinu Shloim. This is Dibur B'Tachtonim. This is Rabbeinu Shloim's, you know, tzorech, a tzorech gevoya, to bring him down into this world. You don't feel like Kriya Shema? So what? Get up and say Kriya Shema. I won't go back to bed afterwards. Okay. But get up and say Kriya Shema. I told you a story with my son Yochanan. I love that. Oh, gorgeous story. My he's 11 now. He must have been probably 9 at the time. We're learning. I just love this story so much. We're learning the Rambam. We're going Kaseda through the whole Rambam, yeah. And now it's yeah. Because he's whatever. A couple of years ago, he was davening. He would get up early. I would come home early. He would get up before cheder, and I'd slip him out of bed. And we'd learn Rambam. And one day, yeah, I told you this story, no? You've forgotten it.
Well, you told him you were going to beat him up?
No, it's different. Same kid. But it's funny, Hashem gave me all the stories with my son Yochanan. Literally, I've got like 10 very important lessons that I learned from Yochanan. And less than others. Anyway, so he's lying in bed, and I come and I'm waking him up.
Yes,
Yochanan, get up. Come, the joke, yeah, we've got to learn Rambam. He's like, Abba, I'm so tired. And I'm like, Yochanan, I don't care. And I said, and you know what? There's 8 billion people in this world, and none of them care as well. No one cares that you're tired. So why are you being Polish Menatsibor? You should also not care. Get up. And he got up out of bed. And that changed his life. Those few words changed his life. You should see what he's like now. Not just that, there's a few other things as well, but those words have been mashpir on him. And he's like, he's there for others. He's really there for others. That's called being a successful parent, I think. When you look at your children and you see that they are not concerned about themselves and they care about other people. That's the goal. Not memorizing Mishnayos. That will come. Because if this is the funny thing, if the guy has stopped caring about himself, yeah, and when I say not caring, doesn't mean not taking care of yourself, means not taking yourself so seriously, well then you're going to learn Mishnayos. Well, you learn Mishnayos. And you're going to learn the Gemara. I mean, you learn the Gemara. You're going to learn the Medrash. You're going to learn the whole Torah. But when you're a bit, so you understand it's the foundation of everything. And this is what we've said many times, is that we look at the world as endless. I've got endless tithers, yeah? I've got endless tithers. And you'll give me a list. I've got to stop looking at stuff on the internet. I've got to stop saying horrible things to my wife. I've got to start getting up on time. Yeah, I've got to concentrate when I'm davening. I have to give more tzedakah. And you'll go on and on. And from each one of those things, you'll say, "So look, I've got a problem with looking at this and that. I've got a problem with getting out of bed because I'm lazy. Yeah, I've got a problem with overeating because I'm a glutton. And you go on and on and on, and you've got a whole bag or a whole building of problems, yeah? But if you get to the root of it and you realize that the problem is that you take yourself too seriously, that's the silver bullet to the whole thing. If you can turn around to yourself and yourself says to you, I want to look at this on the computer, and you've developed yourself enough to turn around and say, shut up, leave me alone. meaning you've become disidentified from that voice enough. Well, now, that's not just going to help you not looking at filth on the computer. That's going to help you not saying that horrible word to your wife. That's going to help you not overeating when you're for supper. That's going to help you to give more to... That's going to help you in every... Do you realize that's the foundation of the whole thing? So because we're caught up in a chitzonius way of looking at the world, we've got this and this and this and this and this, and there's the avoidus, there's tikkun einayim, and then there's tefillah, and there's all the different avoiders, yeah? There's lashon hara, and then, but you realize that if you can just start saying no to yourself, which is predicated on all of these things that we're talking about, just taking yourself less seriously, well then, all of these avoiders, you just go up in all of the avoiders, because it's the same sense of entitlement that makes you speak lashon hara as it is that makes you look at that girl on the street. You want to look at that girl on the street and you want to say that horrible word. Okay, so if you're looking on the chetzonius, then you've got lashon hara and shmir senayim, ein kesher. They're two completely separate things. But when you realize that if you're able to just turn around to yourself and say, no, that's awesome, then you're not going to say that and you're not going
to
look at that.
I think it's important at this point to point out that it's not all or nothing, that any single delay that you can, you know, put in or to delay some kind of gratification with this, even if you ultimately fail or ultimately give in, it's just to identify for that second as this, like, I'm not going to give myself this because I'm not the balabas.
Yeah.
That itself is so unbelievably...
You just... Exactly.
Like, but you can... That, oh, I've changed my whole mindset. I've really incorporated this, everything like this. But just like, you know what? I'm going to wait 5 minutes before having breakfast. Or I'm going to wait another... I'm going to just wait another minute before having that chip or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Because I'm not the balabas.
But you can make it even easier for yourself, like we said. Like I've said this many, many times. Yeah, I don't know if you heard this, the idea of taking one paper towel or taking one tissue instead of two or three or four tissues. That is so easy to do. But when you take the one paper towel, unless you look at the guy after you've taken a bunch of paper towels and feel, ah, look at me. Yeah, that's, and then don't do it. But Colesman, you can take one paper towel and you say in your mind as you're taking the paper towel and your goof is saying, I really want two or three. You say, no, I'm going to take one paper towel. Who am I to take two paper towels? That's so easy, and you just saved yourself. You just went up Madregas in your Shalom Bias. You just went up Madregas in your Shmir Senayim. You just went up Madregas everywhere. When you're walking in the street, like we said, don't walk in the middle of the pavement. Say to yourself, who am I to walk in the middle of the pavement? Walk to the side of the pavement. This isn't my street. I don't own this world. I'll move to the side of the pavement. And that means that when the girl walks in front of you and you're like, I want to look at her, you can turn around to yourself and say, you're not allowed to look at her. Who are you to look at her? That's Asa. And now, do you hear what I'm saying? So it gets even easier than having to... The fight is before the actual Nisayon. The whole world, like we've said again, when you park in a parking space, don't take up two spots. And be miscovered and say in your mind, who am I to take up two spots? You know what I'm saying? And then this is the irony again of the whole thing, is these, a lot of people would be, if they're listening to this online or they're thinking that, you know, then you become you lose all your confidence and you become a schmutter and everyone treads all over and no, it's the exact opposite. You know what happens? Is that when you start doing all these avoiders and you keep saying to yourself, who am I to do this? Who am I to do that? Who am I to interrupt this person? Who am I to do whatever it is, yeah? And what happens is you start taking that side of yourself less seriously, which means you can start actually doing things that you want to do that other people aren't able to do, meaning you become an effective person, meaning you want to get that project off the ground, yeah? Most people just sit and talk about their projects to me, yeah? Who gets projects off the ground? You know, and you can do it now because you're like, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. You're like, who are you? Like the, what we've said before, yeah? The same mindset that says, well, who am I to walk in the middle of the street is the same mindset that says, well, b'makom she'ein ish, ishtadol liyos ish. Who am I to not take the amud right now? You know what I mean? It's the same mindset. Who am I to not stand up to this guy and say, shut up, what you're saying is nasty. That's horrible what you're saying. who am I to not say that? So it empowers you. And your confidence then, well, you're not really confident in yourself. That's what Rav Manis says, having become disconnected from the what I am and becoming connected to the why I am. And now your confidence becomes godly. You hear that? That's, it's moedic. It's so backwards to what everyone says and thinks that this idea of being memayit yourself turns you into a powerhouse, mamash. Moshe Rabbeinu was ish alef ma'oid. He was the most humble of all men. Yeah, shechina medaberes b'toich ha'goyim mamash. You couldn't look at his face. You couldn't look at his face. You think that's like a little guy, like bent over, like, you know. Avraham Avinu was a mighty warrior. Yeah, he was a makava to Hashem. It's the exact opposite of what you think. Kol zman you're connected to what you are, as opposed to why you are, you're just a little fragment. You're just a pixel. You're just a pixel of light floating in the ether. You're nothing. You're just a. That's what you are. When you realize that why you are, then you zoom out and you realize you're this gorgeous picture made up of trillions of pixels. That's why the analogy of the LCD screen is better than the analogy of the orchestra. So we've had for many years, yeah, we've had the analogy of the orchestra. You're part of an ensemble, yeah? So, you know, what's one instrument by itself, and you put together, you know, an amazing 70-piece orchestra. So that's the idea of the big ensemble of creation. But the problem with that moshel is, if you take out a saxophonist by himself, or any instrument, maybe not the triangle, yeah? But take out a saxophonist by himself, yeah? Yeah, that's amazing. It could be amazing. It can be monumental. A guitar solo, a saxophone solo, a piano solo, that can be monumental. That's not how it works in creation. By yourself, you're not monumental at all. That's why the pixel is so much better, because by yourself, what's a pixel? It's just a little speck of color. It's just annoying. Yeah. When you zoom out and you see that you're all, you verstehen? It's a much more healthy thing, because if you do go it alone as a solo instrument, you know, musician, you have something to you. But that's not how it works. It's really funny because we've actually Hashkacha Rabba, that is chapter 7. We didn't get there consciously, but Hashem gave that to us. That is chapter 7. I'd say he says that when a person, he talks about tshuva. And he says that a person who does averas ends up in a, excuse me, shehid tshuva me'ahava me'umka deliba. Yeah, this is why he does tshuva. Bi'ahava la Hashem ke'eretz eifa v'tzia, like a parched and barren land. Liyois ki adhena haisa nafshe be'eretz tzia v'tzal maves. He has situ achor rechoyke ma'or p'nei Hashem b'tachlis. That the reason why he's doing tshuva is because his nefesh has been in a desolate and empty land, a barren land. Yeah, but he quotes Tupac here, Tzal Maves, yeah, the shadow of death. Yeah, so that's where that man was kulu in the shadow of death. That's the place you go to when. What everybody in the world is saying, you have to pay attention to your sense of self. You end up in this eretz tzir v'tzal maves, and that's why we're in such a good position now, because we've in our generation in 2025 in Tafshin Pei Hey, we've gone so deep into the eye, we're in this eretz tzir v'tzal maves mamash, and everyone's looking for the real refuah. Which is the Rabbeinu Shloilem, not my dimion of wanting to have the Rabbeinu Shloilem, but to be an Eved Hashem, to give my heart to the Rabbeinu Shloilem. That's called tshuva.
To not be that one pixel anymore, but then to reincorporate yourself into the full picture.
You have to.
We all focus on being the one pixel too much, and now we're all just pixels completely separate from each other.
You have to zoom out, and that's the definition of a Rasha. Yes, that's why I'm in a cloud. Our job is to see ourselves b'toich haklal. I am a piece of a machine. I'm a very important piece of a machine. If I stop functioning, the whole machine on some level grounds to a halt. You take out one cog from a complex machine, the whole thing is messed up. That's how important you are. You're a vital organ in this thing we call creation.
Part of the machine.
But you're perfect, exactly. Right. But you're part of the machine. You have no independent relevance.
There's no significance to you being the little screw. Right.
Okay, we should all be zeicha. To serve Hashem. This is what is called lishma. The avoid of lishma. Of seeing yourself as one of his possessions.
Is this Sunday, what time?
Square.
8 o'clock Sunday.